looks like a good crowd out here today. Turn to John 13 in your Bible. I'm going to start at verse 19, and that's going back over a little bit what I had before. But I want to emphasize these verses. Now I tell you before it come that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth, whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And he said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered in with him and said into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Jesus had the bag, in other words, he was the treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which you have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightly glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And I'll just stop there. Back in verse 19, you have this verse. I tell you before it come, that you may believe that I am he. Now I want to emphasize that. You know, one of the reasons why I really believe this Bible is the prophecies that I see in it. They were hundreds of years written down before, and they come true.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is, at this time in his ministry right now, he is dealing with his disciples, maybe just the 12 or a little more, and he's getting them ready for when he's not going to be with them. He's been 3 years with them. He's been there whenever they needed him. He was there all the time to answer the questions and whatever, and to explain sometimes when they got out of the crowd, they would ask him what he was meaning about different things. Well, he's not going to be there anymore. And what he's telling the men is he's preparing them how they're going to handle life. They weren't expecting this, I'm sure. And yet he's told them 3 or 4 times already, he's going to die. He's going to die. Now, he told him he's going to rise again too. Now think what he's doing. He's laying in the hands of these 12 and maybe more the future of the gospel. These people, another reason why I believe this, these men in history died serving Jesus. They died serving Jesus. They went around the world. They were imprisoned. They were tortured. They were stoned. They were killed. Yet they went around the world and they kept on, he's alive. We've seen him. I saw him. I saw him out of the grave. He's alive. Wow. That's the foundation of the church. That's the foundation of the gospel that we preach. Now, Jesus said, told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good job. I've sometimes looked at some of the things that Jesus said and thought, wow, that seems impossible. How in the world can we preach the gospel to every creature or take one church like us? How can we do something that big? Well, we're trying to do it. We do our best to do it. Anyway, ye may believe that I am he. I look at the Bible and I see the prophecies that came in history before, and we have already, at our time of living, we've passed up their kingdoms that they were and their riches and their rise and their fall. And that was a long time ago, but we've got it written down in history to know when it happened and what it happened. And Daniel was telling the truth. Yeah. And the visions that they got. Joseph was telling the truth about the dreams that he had. And you can see that somebody has to be pretty smart to do that.
Yeah, amen.
And that's knowing the future from the past. Bless your hearts. You may believe that I am he. That's what you need to do. Amen. That's the simple basis of all of gospel truth, gospel preaching. He's the one.
Amen.
Just like the sayings of I am, I am, I am, I am. Well, Jesus is everything you need.
Amen.
You say, I need help. Well, I am.
Amen.
I need forgiveness. Well, I am. I'm forgiveness.
Lord.
Whatever you need, I am. That's exactly what it is. And that fascinated me when I first read that in the Bible back when I was 20 years old, that I actually come across that. And when he said, go tell them I am sent you, it struck me. Just, I remember noticing it as I read it. I am. But now as I looked at it and I look back upon it, I see Jesus, he is everything I need. He's everything you need. And if you have him, everything else can be settled.
Yeah, amen.
He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, I've dealt with this last week, but I want to read it again. You need to think about this. This is a tremendous verse, and it applies to you. Do you know what happened to you when you got saved? God came in you to live.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit is God coming into you to live.
Amen.
God is in you. The Bible even says that he prays so that you can pray right.
Yep.
Man, I prayed some prayers that I didn't get answered, and I'm glad I didn't get answered. God was overlooking me. And he knows when I pray with a qualification. If it's not right, Lord, just forget what I said. Because you know what? I don't know tomorrow. I don't know this afternoon. I might hear the shout, woo, and a trumpet, boo, 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 boo.
Amen.
And I'd fly away.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the way I'd like to go.
Yeah.
I always did like a good roller coaster. Whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. I have walked up the doors and seen people inside, and they know that I'm the preacher or whatever, and they don't want to come to the door. Well, I really don't blame them too much. I don't want to go to the door either. But I think of it, you don't know what I can give you.
Yeah.
I can give you a message that could change your life forever, that could forgive your sins, to remake you. Wow, what a tremendous blessing. That's what you carry. That's your testimony. Your testimony can reach some people.
Amen. That's right.
And that's what we need to give our testimony.
Right.
You need to stand up and let people know that you are a Christian. And this tremendous thing here, if I give only like in Matthew 10:42, he says, if you give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Wow. How about receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet? Get a prophet's reward. How about receive a righteous man and accept him as a righteous man? Receive a righteous man's reward. That is a tremendous principle that God has set out there for you. You ought to appreciate that.
Amen.
Well, go to verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, or surely, surely, truly, truly, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. You ever been betrayed? Yeah, probably everybody had. Maybe you were just kids and one of you squealed on everybody. Nobody likes being betrayed. And here's one of Jesus, 12, that's going to betray him. And this is a shock to them. They looked on one another, they were wandering around. And John, I believe, is the disciple that was on Jesus' bosom there. Simon Peter asked him, verse 24, he asked who it is that he spake. He then, in verse 25, said, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. Now, that may sound very strange. That's an old word. But the truth of the matter is, it's just bread that soaks up soup. Sop, S-O-P. A lot of y'all wouldn't like my cornbread, but I like my cornbread. I like it good and hard. I don't want any sugar in it. And I sometimes cook me two or three batches of cornbread at the same time. And then I just let it get a little old. And then I cut it up and put it up and I take the soup. Oh, that cornbread just soaks up that soup. That stew, whatever. I like cornbread. I think they had some kind of a bread. It might have been more like a tortilla than a batch of cornbread, but he said, when I give the sop to him, he's going to give him some bread, just pass it to him there. He puts it down in the juice, the soup or the stew, and then hands it to him, and that's the way they ate. They didn't have a big fine table like you have, even for breakfast. They didn't have a lot of different dishes for all sorts of things either. Their life was completely different. It's like when I went into Guatemala and I went back into the Indians. When you got off the pavement, my thinking was, I went back 500 years. The way they lived. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have running water. They might have a well. They did. Many of them didn't even have outhouses. They just had a hole cut in the ground in the backyard. Long time. You know how really blessed you are?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
I think about that all the time. I am so blessed.
Yeah.
I could have been born in the middle of Africa and never heard the name of Jesus Christ. I could have been down on an Amazon creek. Never heard the name of Jesus Christ, because there's people out there that still need to hear.
Yep. Amen.
And you know something? I think we ought to keep sending it. I think we ought to keep sending people out. I think we ought to keep preaching around the world. I believe we ought to continue buying and selling, serving and distributing tracts. Now there's tracks out there on the board, not as many as I used to have, but there's tracks out there. They're there for you to pick up and take with you and pass on to somebody else. Now they're not just to lay around in your car, not just to lay around on your dresser. They're to be passed out. I know personally people who have been saved by picking up a track on the ground. We used to go through Mexico when I was a missionary down there in language school. And we would throw tracks out the windows when we went through certain villages. And the people would run to get them. They needed them for toilet paper. They did. But you know something? They read them. And people got saved. You just don't realize the value of what your civilization has left you with. Back when I first started preaching, I came into some churches where it had people that could not read. right here in Texas. Couldn't read. Didn't know how to. Is there anybody here today that doesn't know how to read? Probably not. Some of us read better than others. Some of us read faster than others. Some of us are more intelligent than others. Yes, but most of us can read and write and sign our name and whatever. There's a lot of people in the world that lived that never did, but the Jews had a reading and writing people. And you know why? So they could understand the Word of God. Amen. They were God's people. God gave the Word to Moses to start it off, brought it on down through prophet after prophet, and then kings, and one fabulously talented and heroic king named David. Some of his stuff is just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's true.
I love the Psalms. And I love David's Psalms better than any. He saw forgiveness better than most Old Testament people. And he had a poet's heart. And he was a great soldier. I mean, slaying a 10-foot giant? Good night. Saul's 7 foot. He didn't want to go see him. And David was probably about 5'5", 5'6", something like that. He wasn't a great big man. I think we've just been tremendously blessed that we have the opportunity that we have. That you have the opportunity today to come in here without anybody picking on you or somebody trashing your house or whatever. And there are people going through that today, right now, around the world, just because they want to believe in Jesus Christ.
Right.
One of you shall betray me. And they looked on him and said, who is it? He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I've dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. I never have understood why anyone would name their daughter Jezebel. If you know the Bible and get the name out of the Bible, why in the world would you name it Jezebel? Because you don't know what Jezebel was like. That was a wicked woman. Now, I had an uncle whose name was Jude. But, of course, we have some good people named Jude in the Bible. But we have a Judas here that he did the worst thing that you could imagine.
Amen.
Turned on his own friend and his Savior and his Lord and turned him in for 30 pieces of silver. Now, that doesn't sound like much, does it? But have to think back. This is a place where a man works 10 hours a day for a penny. Now 30 pieces of silver sounds a little bigger. And by the way, when he took me back and threw the pieces of silver into the priest that gave it to him, they didn't put it back in the treasury. They went out and bought land with it. That 30 pieces of silver was worth enough to buy a burial plot for poor people who couldn't afford one. I don't know how big it was, and I don't know whether you could find it today. But 30 pieces of silver was a pretty good sum of money to Judas Iscariot, who was the treasurer. I don't know, but there's been a lot of treasurers that have stolen money from the people that they're supposed to be keeping it for. It's a problem. And you know, I know in myself, in my own experience, I know people that were good, solid people, and their grandchildren are stealing them blind. I know people that are taking care of old people, and some of them are just crooked. They don't think about them, and they steal, and they abuse them. All is sins, what the Bible said.
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, we live with a bunch of sinners. Do you watch the news every once in a while? I try to watch screen 5 and 6 just to get a little bit from here and a little bit from the world. But whatever, it's a miserable time. I remember one time when I was in Colorado with Dale and we were preaching a mission conference. And we had separate motel rooms, and I got a phone call, and Dale's calling me, "Lendl, you got your television on?" I said, "No, I don't have my television on." He said, "Well, turn it on." That was when they bombed the two towers. Wow, that was a real shock to me. For I don't know how many thousands of people got killed. How many people lost their father or their mother or their child or whatever. Wow, tragic, tragic, tragic news. And it's on every news. That's what really news is. One of you is going to betray me. He it is who I give the sop. And he gave the sop to Judas Iscariot. Now after the sop, Satan entered into him and said unto him, "That thou doest do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Jesus had the bag, was the treasure, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, receiving the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." You know, a lot of religion that is taught is trying to make you good people. They won't be people that will read your Bible every day, people that will give money to the church or give money to people who need it, people who would change their life. And that they think is the purpose of the church. But that's not really the truth. You never are going to get good enough to deserve heaven. Have you ever figured that out?
That's right.
Have you ever really just tried to fast and had it broken with an old crust of bread? Something you didn't even like. But you just were hungry and you, in a weak moment, you broke it. How many of you tried to quit smoking and couldn't? How many people have a hard time quitting drinking? Or cussing? Or gambling? All of these things are wicked things that break you, hurt you. And you know you're better off without them. But we don't have a very good willpower, do we?
Sir.
And it is a good thing to exercise that willpower and be taught to do things that are right. But that's not the way you get to heaven.
Amen.
You get to heaven by God dying in your place.
Amen.
You talk about a glorious life. Jesus Christ got a glorious life.
Amen.
He died for people who would spit on him and whip him and beat him and kill him.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
And in his love, he showed that love by not coming down off that cross and calling 72,000 angels.
Right. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. What one angel did, he killed 145,000 people in the Old Testament in one night. One angel. He could have called 12 legions of angels from the cross, is what the Bible says. He didn't have to die. He was not forced into death.
Thank you, Lord.
He surrendered his life for your sins.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he could pay for them and rise again, and you can't.
Amen.
Wow, what a gift. That's a glorious thing.
Yes.
I don't know anything more glorious. I don't know anything I would rather preach than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The good news about Jesus. He died for you.
Amen.
Now, I grew up in church. My folks regularly went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday school, whatever. They very seldom went to, sometimes if a revival meeting or something like that happened. Well, we were just country people. We moved to the city, and then my folks felt like, well, they didn't fit in. They were country hicks. And they were with city people. You and I know how much difference that is right now. But at any rate, I read the Bible. I memorized some verses. I had the Ten Commandments. But it didn't affect me very much. And you know, God did a wonderful thing for me. A friend of mine died driving my truck on my run. And the truck blew up. Blew his ears. Blew his eyelids off. Threw him about 30 feet. He lived 11 days in Brooks Army down here. They shipped him down here. That was my truck. I was called by the dispatcher to take that run. And I had an appointment with a doctor. And in the Air Force, where you do what you're told. I decided 20-year-olds could die.
Yeah.
Some of you are not figuring on death. You don't have a will. You haven't talked to anybody about it. You know what would happen to your kids or your life or whatever. You might ought to think about death. Death's coming your way.
Amen.
You're going to die. That's one thing you know. I would prefer the shout.
Right.
Amen.
But they asked Billy Graham when he was 99. In fact, he preached for 70 years. They asked him when he was 99, did he worry about death? He said, oh, no. I'm not worried about death. I'm greatly anticipating it. I'm going to see God face to face. And I'm going to see my wife, and I'm going to see my old dear friends that have gone on. No, 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 no. I'm not worried about death. He was prepared. If you're not saved, you're not prepared. You're just not prepared. You may be a good person. You may be one of the people that we would say, oh, no, he would never do that, or she would never do that. That doesn't mean you're saved. And that doesn't mean you look that good to God.
Right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, is it what the word is?
Yeah.
Gift. A lot of people today are teaching religion. You do these things, and you'll go to heaven. Not so.
Right.
And they get irritated when they hear, once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
But you know what? I didn't pay for my sins.
Right.
You didn't either.
Amen.
Jesus Christ paid for your sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He didn't sell your salvation to you. He gave it.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Amen.
It's a gift that God gives that you do not deserve.
Right.
Not a one of you, the best of you, do not deserve it.
Right.
And the sooner you understand that, the better you'll appreciate the gospel is preached.
Amen.
He gave it. It's a gift of God. I have eternal life right now. I'm not going to die from this one and then have to have eternal life. No, he says he's in me right now.
Amen.
And if you're saved, he's in you. And if he's not in you, you better get saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Wow. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. That is a glorious thing to do for all mankind. That's glorious. Oh, it's a shame when you look up on the cross and a lot of people go through a lot of tears and whatever today, which I don't think they should, but that's just me. That's a glorious thing. You see some policeman and he goes into a fire or a bad situation and he picks somebody up at the risk of his life and goes out. We call him a hero.
Yeah.
Well, how about Jesus going and suffering hell for you?
Yeah.
And coming out of the grave 3 days and three nights later.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Man, I'm telling you, that is a glorious thing.
Amen.
And that's where the glory here is starting here. Now is the Son of Man glorified. God is glorified in him. And if you look at John chapter 17, in Jesus' prayer for his people, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? Well, you need to know him. That's a blessing. You know, I count myself not only to be blessed because of the country that I was born in and the nation I was raised up in, but man, I had a faithful woman for 60 years. Faithful wife. Oh man, was she hard-headed? Oh, bet she was hard-headed. You won't believe it. You'll think that's the sweetest little thing. Oh yeah, till her temper got riz up. But no, she was a wonderful woman. And I'm going to look forward to seeing her again. I think I'll be in the bride this time. I think the church is the bride of Christ. Well, I'll tell you what. I got blessings in all my kids. And my grandkids. And I had my great-grandkids down here hugging me before I got up to teach. Oh, that's sweet stuff.
Amen.
That's all good stuff. Man, I am blessed.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you blessed? Count your blessings.
Amen.
Somebody wrote a song about that. You might ought to learn it and sing it. Count your many blessings.
Amen.
You got a lot of blessings, and you may sometimes you don't know it, you don't recognize it, you don't feel it. And you ought to.
Amen.
And especially if you're saved.
Amen.
Your sins are forgiven, you're not going to have to pay for them.
Right.
You bring them up. Lord, remember when? No, I don't. I forgot them.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
He forgot them. You can't forget them, but he forgot them. Isn't that wonderful? That's a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Now you got a lot of blessings, I tell you what. John 17:1, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And then down in 17:3 said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, to know God. Yeah, you can know God and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Wow. To know God, that's a tremendous blessing. I think of that statement, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. All things. That means God is so great, he has made it to where even the bad things that come to me will turn out to be a blessing. Because I'm saved. It's not that way for everybody. It's not that way for the lost world out there. But if you're saved, that's that way for you. That's the Holy Spirit of God living within you. He's alive and you're alive.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightly glorify him. Little children, little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. He said, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. Where was he going where you couldn't follow him? Into hell itself. To pay for your sins. To pay your debt to God. And not only your debt, those that were crucifying him. Pilate, who's sentencing him to death, even though he knew he was innocent. Even when his wife had told him not to do it. He couldn't get through washing his hands. He had a problem, man. He was set up. to judge God on earth. God Almighty walked around in the body of Jesus Christ. One of them said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be plenty. That'll suffice us. He said, have I been so long a time with you, and don't you know me? Me? Me?
Yeah.
He is the Father.
Amen.
The Father in the Son. Praise God.
Amen.
If God be glorified in him, yes, God is glorified in Jesus Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, that glorifies God that much more.
Amen.
We all ought to be not hesitant about witnessing. We ought to be bold and joyous in our witness. We shouldn't let the devil shut us down. We shouldn't let somebody's friendship be more important than the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
I'm like one of the other preachers, I've forgotten which one of it was, maybe Brian, talking about people using the name in vain. And you know, I have also spoken out when they use the name in vain. Why are you saying Jesus Christ? Why are you cussing with Jesus Christ's name? You evidently don't know him. I can tell you who he is and where he's going and what he'd like to do. And you know something? I am so thankful for a book. The Word of God. I believe that. I believe this book's true. I don't believe it's in the air.
Amen.
And that gives me confidence that if I get it out of the book and I understand it clearly the way it is in the book and I teach you that way, then I'm doing God's will.
Amen.
And God, the Holy Spirit, will bless it.
Amen.
And he has blessed it. He has blessed it. I thank God for the Word of God. Man, what a treasure. That's why he gave it to the Jews. That's why the Jews learned to read and write when a lot of other people didn't. Do you realize everybody going to school and everybody reading and writing and whatever, that's a new thing. That's a new thing. A lot of places didn't have it and don't have it even today. Wow. You can read and write? Praise the Lord. You've heard the name of Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
You got the message that God would freely forgive you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You took that message and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins.
Yeah.
I believe you died in my place on the cross of Calvary. And God saved your soul. Isn't it about time you ought to give him some praise?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You ought to be praising God.
Amen.
You ought to be glorifying God.
He's worthy.
Now, I don't know what it is that impresses you. The heavens impress me. I one time thought I might like to be an astronomer until I realized if I did, I wouldn't get one of those big telescopes except about once every 5 years for 2 or 3 days. And then I lost a little of my interest. Heavens, life impresses me. I've had a really good time. I'm 86 years old, and I've outlived most people, and I've had a great time. I've had a wonderful life. Wow, that impresses me. How about eternity? Have you ever thought about eternity? Never beginning, never ending? It's beyond me. I think I'm a halfway decent, smart old fellow, but you know something? That's big. Eternity. I'm going to live eternally with Jesus Christ. Greatest person I've ever read about or heard about. Never heard anybody like him. I've never known any other love, anything close to his. And love is a wonderful thing. I love my wife. I love my parents. I love my sister. I love my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I love you. You're my church. I love you. I'm thankful.
Amen.
And I'm impressed. If God God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. I'm impressed. God bless you.
Amen.